We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Subscribers to NewOrleans.Football get all of our news, analysis, and extra podcasts every week and so much more. Make sure you sign up today. Use the code NOF to save 20% on your first payment. Check that out at NewOrleans.Football/subscribe. Use the code NOF, 20% off your first payment. Welcome back to another episode of NewOrleans.Football presented by PJ's Coffee. We're coming to you from our studio on Veterans Memorial Boulevard, right next door to Matt Bowers Ford dealership. If you need a new car, make sure you go and check them out. They have every type of dealership all throughout the region. Search the name, you'll find them. You will get the best customer care, the best prices, the best car buying experience that you can have. So make sure you go and check out a Matt Bowers dealership if you are in the market for a new or a pre-owned car. We got a great show for you guys today. We're going to keep breaking down the draft. We're going to go through the roster and predict who has the best chance of still being here in 2026 and so much more. We'll get into all of that and more right after this quick break. The NewOrleans.Football show is proudly presented by PJ's Coffee. PJ's Coffee has some of the best drinks that you can find. They have locations all over the city. They have pastries and everything else you need to get your day started. So go check them out. Are you looking for the perfect engagement ring? Look no further than Friend & Company Fine Jewelers' new engagement salon. This new area houses a wide selection of engagement rings to choose from in all cuts, sizes, and colors. Their experienced staff offer five-star customer care to help you find the perfect ring to express your love. Visit their new engagement salon today. Friend & Company Fine Jewelers, the perfect ring for the perfect moment and also for the perfect person. 7713 Maple Street between Adams and Burdett Street. 504-866-5433. Friend & Company Fine Jewelers. Check them out at friendandcompany.com. Hardhide Punch Tool Strawberry Whiskey is an 86-proof blend of aged wheat bourbon, American light whiskey, and fresh Punch Tool strawberries. Blended in New Orleans, it is not for the thin-skinned. Look for it in your favorite stores, bars, and restaurants. New Orleans Stop Football is proud to be sponsored by Firehouse Subs. Make sure you check out their location on Veterans Boulevard. All right, let's get into the show. It's time for our lead topic presented by Friend & Company Fine Jewelers. Friend & Company is the official jewelers of the New Orleans Saints. They have a great engagement salon. You can get really beautiful rings there, all different sizes, all different prices. Get your ring, go back, get your wedding ring, get your anniversary rings. Stick with Ken. He'll help you tell your love story through your jewelry, and every piece will be beautiful and timeless. And while you're there, check out their Fleur de Lis earrings and necklace that you see on the screen right now. Those earrings are priced at $1,100, and the necklace is $1,350. All right, what you got for us, B?
All right, man. Good Friday, we here, we ready to go. Lead topic, which Saints will still be on the roster in 2026? We all have a tendency to look at the NFL draft in terms of filling the biggest holes on the current roster, but it is truly about building the core of your team's future. So where are the Saints actually set beyond 2024 and 2025, and which current players do we feel most confident in being on the roster 2 years from now?
All right,
let's kick it off with you.
You want to start with the quarterbacks?
Yeah, sure. Let's hit it.
All right, so we got Derek Carr, Taysom Hill, Jake Haener as the quarterbacks. You know, I think there's probably a pretty good chance Derek Carr might still be here in 26. I think going through him, he probably
that would mean another contract.
I think he has the best chance of the three to probably still stick around. I don't think Taysom's going to be here. I can't make the long-term bet on Jake Haener. So I think the odds might be against all of them, but if you had to pick a survivor out of that group, I think the best bet's probably on Derek Carr.
Yeah, I'm doing math now in my head. Carr's contract runs through 2026. He's due to make $50 million in 2026. I do think it would take another contract. I feel like he's really only got a three-year deal, but they get exclusive rights to negotiate him with him if they want to continue. So it's a great question. I agree. I'd be surprised if Taysom's still here unless he grows old gracefully and is just making a lot less money. It'd be great for the Saints if Jake Haener panned out enough to be the backup quarterback until then, but I agree Carr has the best bet of all of them. Do I think Carr will still be the quarterback in 2026? I'll bet yeah, I guess, because I think the only way he's not is if they draft one before then, and I don't think they're in good position to draft one this year. I don't think they're going to be in good position to draft one next year because I think they're going to get at least 7-8 wins again. So, yeah, I don't think it's a great plan because he'll be 33 then. But that's not that old. That's not that old.
Here's the thing. If he's still here in 26, that's a bet that Dennis Allen's still going to be here in 26, sure. I think if DA isn't here, Carr isn't here. I think they're kind of tied together in that. If you bring in a new coach, you're probably cleaning house. You're starting over. You're going to bottom out there. They aren't going to try to – if it fails with Derek Carr and the head coach doesn't survive, the next guy isn't going to say, well, that's my life raft. Like, I think you're starting over at that point. You probably have just completely new vision, and I think at that point that is when you start over. I don't think Derek Carr is going to be part of two regimes. It's either this one makes it or it doesn't.
I think the only way that happens is if they make the playoffs at least once in the next 2 years. I think if DA makes playoffs this year, he obviously buys himself the next year and some goodwill, proved he could do it. If he somehow missed the playoffs this year and then survived another year, it would obviously be playoffs or bust. Do I think the Saints will make the playoffs sometime in the next 2 years? Is that's kind of what we're betting on with Derek Carr, is we're predicting that they make the playoffs once in the next 2 years.
Let's break off onto that real quick, though. Like, yeah. I feel like until it's constructed right now, today, April 12th, I think it's unreasonable that playoff expectation.
Like, unreasonable?
Extremely unreasonable that playoff expectations. I don't think that this is – you don't have a tackle. You need two. Like, it's an extremely unreasonable measure right now for this team to be like, he needs to get this team to the playoffs.
But if we're putting A and B and C together, no way DA survives two more non-playoff seasons. No way. No way. Maybe, but not two more. They cannot miss the playoffs in the first 4 years of him being head coach and have a five-year playoff drought and keep sticking with him. No way. And if you're saying no DA means no Carr, and the decision time is going to come after his third year on the team, Carr's third year on the team. So the decision time is going to come in 2026. 2 years from now, we'll know the answer. 2 years from this offseason is decision time on Derek Carr. And if they miss the playoffs the next 2 years in a row, I guess I think he'll be gone too. But I guess I weirdly think there's a chance they can make the playoffs once in the next 2 years and keep this thing going.
No way for them?
Yeah, no way.
No way.
No way. We saw...
I disagree with
we
no
saw
way.
Half... Ha, like,
I'm not going
to
argue,
but Superdome be like for the next 2 years if they never get back to the playoffs? They're buying a little time and having a little patience. I don't think their patience can last two more years of these half-empty Superdome crowds full of empty seats or booing fans or opposing fans. They got to have something to stem that tide. I get why they were patient enough last year and this year. They can't be patient enough 4 years in a row. They can't be.
I agree with the analysis. I just don't know no way for them.
Yeah.
Like, I think what we know about them, I think they'll try to find every single reason to allow it to go as long as it can. I mean, really, I do. I do. I mean, I honestly think that there is I truly believe there's a scenario where they don't make the playoffs 2 years in a row and that there's a third year.
That would be a fifth year.
Yeah.
Dia gets a fifth year after four non-playoff seasons.
Look, I'm just
I know.
I'm not saying we both cover this team. I've just seen enough to where
I think to me, I don't think he should be able to survive.
And I'm not
three. But I also predict the Saints would not let him survive.
And I'm not saying like Mickey would be afraid to make a decision or anything like that. It's just if like you strike out at the tackles, like I just see a scenario where they could look
I
at it.
I could see where they don't blame DA fully, but at that point you have to make a change for change sake because the fan base.
That's the thing.
Their season ticket waiting list will be gone. They're like they would not be able to deny the weight of it.
So that's the justification point for you if they strike out on the tackles. That's the next thing after
for
the
this
quarterback.
Year? Yeah, sure. And I don't know if it's a justification point. It's just I don't think that like if you're sitting at it, you can be a saint. Like I can't have a conversation with someone's like, well, they didn't get any tackles, but they should have made the playoffs. Like
Right.
Like come on, like let's be logical here. Right. But like what I was trying to say though is I don't think that Mickey's afraid to make a decision. Dennis Osh is afraid to make a decision. Gale's afraid to make a decision. But I think that they are painfully, brutally like logical about this kind of stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
To the point where it's like, well, they have to do something. They'd be like, well, why the hell do we have to do something? And I don't think they've been backed into a corner in a very long time. And I don't think they'll get backed into a corner easily on something like that. And that's the only thing I'm saying is like, I just see, look, I think you're right. Like if they go 2 years in a row, they probably can't. But knowing these people,
I understand.
No way. Like the door's open a little bit.
It's like our analysis of they've never traded down since 2007, so we don't ever believe they're going to trade. We would have to see it to believe it.
That's
we haven't
all.
Seen them fire a coach. We did see them do it with Pete Carmichael. That was Dennis Allen's decision. But like they gave him a lot of time. Finally reached a breaking point. My prediction is 2 more years would reach that point. And just to be fair, I said Derek Carr. Will be turning 33 then. He just turned 33 now. He will be turning 35 in 2026. He'll be heading into a year where he's due $50 million. If they don't make the playoffs once in the next 2 seasons, I think that could be the end of it. But I think he'll have a good season. One of the next 2 seasons I think will be really good for Derek Carr, if not both of them. I think he could even survive longer than DA. I think he could. So I'll bet that they're restructuring some sort of bridge contract, another couple of years while they're still waiting to find the next guy. I'd bet on him staying.
No, I'm going to be honest with you. I was all on board with what you're saying until he started coming up with like the scenario of like maybe like, oh, what if you strike out on tackles and stuff like that? You start getting into the territory where you have to look at history and say, okay, history says they don't move off of the strength of, you know, what the fans think or whatever. But honestly, I think there is no end to that because then it becomes, well, the kicker missed a field goal this game that could have put us in this spot in the division, which kept us from the playoffs. So, like, where does that kind of end? So I think if they don't really get to the playoffs this year, like, convincingly, that's it.
See, I don't. I mean, like, I think there is a content, like, it's like entering somebody into a NASCAR race and not putting tires on the car at that point. It's not a field goal kicker missing it. It's not having a kicker. And then if you're missing a kicker because your center has to kick the field goal, I think a sane and logical person has to be like, well, they didn't have a kicker and that was Eric McCoy out there.
Right.
Like, it's just kind of, you get to that point. Now, if you make a decision on the kicker and the kicker misses and that's the kicker you put in the position to have that job, that's on you. But I just feel like if they don't have any tackles going into the season, like that is one scenario where it's just kind of got to be like, all right. And as we're sitting here today, I cannot call them a playoff team because I cannot name either starting tackle. They have the worst tackle situation in the NFL. So I can't hang on DA. You got to win 10 games or your ass is out of here because you failed.
Yeah.
You don't have the pieces right now. So let them get the pieces. Let them have the job. And I can already like see it like, oh, the excuses. It's not an excuse.
We decided to reset the salary cap. We knew it was going to take a number of years. We were going to have. Yeah.
Those are the excuses.
I can see it. I just look. Thank you in advance to everyone who's going to be watching this show 2 years from now. If they don't make the playoffs for the next 2 years and they still have DA Derek Carr, there'll be 4 subscribers to New Orleans Town Football.
I think we'll be all right. I think they got a good fan base. I think there's a good fan base.
All right, let's roll on to AK in the running back position. I think we spent a good time on the QBs. Yeah,
that was a longer than most discussion for sure.
No, but there were some compelling points. But what do you think about AK, Nick?
Yeah, 2 years from now, I doubt AK's here, and I would guarantee Kendre Miller's here. I think Kendre Miller can be a star.
Yeah, I didn't even put Jamal Williams on this list because I don't think we think he'll stay beyond his current contract. I don't think Alvin will be here either. I mean, there is a scenario for him aging gracefully, and I think he'll still be in the league. So if he's willing to do it for less money, he could theoretically do it here. But they've got a major contract decision to make with him next year. And I think Kendra will be here too, and I think Kendra will be the 1A running back for this team, no matter who else is with him.
Yeah, I mean, I think for Alvin to be here, they need to be a playoff team, because it's not really about the Saints at that point. It's like, why would Alvin want to spend his last couple of years chasing 8 wins? Like, if they aren't winning a lot of games, I just don't see why Alvin would want to be on this team in 26.
It gets so unfortunate so fast for those guys. Look at Dalvin Cook. He had to settle for a deal with the Jets. Ezekiel Elliott had to settle for a deal with the Patriots. It's like that once the league turns on you as a running back, you land where you can. I mean, look at how Mark Ingram finished his career out. I think Alvin would stay here if he embraced the reality of his situation, possibly. But I don't think he'll be the featured back anymore 2 years from now.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think Kendra is going to step up and become the primary running back. I mean, you could kind of see in Dallas where that isn't always the best thing, because if you look at Tony Pollard, he was very good behind Zeke, but then when he stepped up and the lights were bright, he kind of withered a little bit. But he was able to get another contract in Tennessee. But, yeah, I definitely think Kendra steps up, and I definitely see them adding somebody to help, you know, kind of fill in that role.
Kendra probably has to have a big year for them not to draft the next Kendra already next year, though.
Yeah. Let's move on to wide receiver. I mean, I think it's kind of universally agreed that Olave is going to be here in 26, but what about Shahid?
Yeah, I think so. And then I think A.T. Perry, too. I think across the board, all three of those guys stick around.
Yeah, it's the one position we probably feel best about on this team. And the short list of – they're probably among the top 10 players we could pencil in if we were like, ranking these players, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, moving on to tight end. I mean, we're kind of thin at the position right now, but Juwan Johnson, do you think he sticks around for another 2 years?
2 years? No, I don't think he'll be here 2 years from now. I think he drastically has to change the narrative. Otherwise, they're gonna try to replace him. And then once they do, I think the time's probably up. So he needs to rapidly change his narrative. I thought last year was just keeping it a buck. Like and you know, I think it was disappointing relative to expectations.
You think he's here in 2025 because he's a free agent next year?
I not unless he's willing to take drastically less money.
Yeah,
drastically less.
Or he's making $6 million a year right now. He gets this year to prove he's a $6 million tight end. I'm going to bet that he does, though. I'm going to bet that he does. I feel like I should get odds on that bet. But, man, I felt so good about him last year. He finally started short toward the tail end of last season. We feel good about the offensive minds coming in here. They haven't replaced him. If they don't draft Brock Bowers in round one, they haven't come up with somebody. I mean, he's going to get every opportunity. They need a guy like him in this offense. I think Juwan Johnson does enough to get another extension.
At $6 million? That's a lot of yards for a guy that doesn't block. They earned $6 million bucks.
Yeah. I mean, they gave it to him 2 years ago based just on his potential. Look, you're giving me odds, but yeah, I think he signs an extension at about the same price at the end of this year.
I think he'll have to. Yeah, I think, like you said, he'll have to eat it and just be like, hey, I can't get as much money. But I think if he, you know, takes that lick, he'll still stick around.
Yeah,
I mean, he's a good character guy, and he's good in, like, the community and things like that. So.
I like him at, like, 3.5, 4. But, like, you got to be around 700 yards, 6-ish touchdowns, I think, for that.
So that's over the next 2 seasons. So who would be up for a contract at that point? Would that put Pitts up for a contract?
I think you're probably looking at, you know, a younger replacement. I mean, look, I think they need to try to find a way to get, like, in that third, fourth round to kind of bring someone in now. I mean,
pressure's
I really
on
feel like
for
it's
sure.
A big need.
Yeah, this is the maker.
Oh, no, it's definitely not easy street. All right, let's go to Trevor Penning. You know, what do you think about Penning if hypothetically, if he blossoms over the summer and has a good year this year?
The most important thing that can happen for this team is him still being here in 2026. I'm betting against it based on what we've seen. Mm-hmm. But it's not impossible, and I think they're going to give him every opportunity because they've already made the investment. Cutting him would be foolish at this point. Trying to get this new coaching staff to get something out of him. What is 2026 for him? Is that fifth-year option territory yet? He's third year now, fourth year next year. So this time next year, they have to decide if they're paying him the fifth-year option. I'm going to bet against it.
He could come back on a lesser
he could.
Deal, though.
He could.
I'm gonna bet yes, because I think that they're gonna be forced to get him to be a functional starter. And I think it is gonna be like hell or
just
high water.
Just get an Andrews Peak type of, hey, look, we made it work.
Maybe the fifth year option doesn't happen, but I feel like he's gonna find a way to just be a functional NFL player at some level, even if it's just like as a swing tackle or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like I think it's there. I really think it's there. I think that if you can get him in the right environment where it can be like nurturing to an extent to where he can get there, I'm just going to choose optimism here because like, it's just, if he gets functional, they will not give up on him. Like, I don't think the bar is even that high. Like, it's just, they, you just got to see a little.
Pete's career path is the perfect model. Like, Pete never quite got to like, there he is, the 13th pick in the draft that we always thought, but he became good enough to be a starter and, you know, they found a role for him. They would, that's the probably best case scenario for Penning's career right now.
It's the best case of the worst case scenario.
you talk about nurturing Penning and you think he has like the skill and the ability to be able to develop into a good tackle. Ramchek's body isn't letting him play right now, but his mind is still invested. Do you think it's possible that they bring him in kind of like they did Zach Strief and Jairi Evans to try to like coach him up like somebody who's actually been in the trenches? I know this is going to be a new system, but somebody who's had that experience.
I think once Ramchek steps away, he's going to just step away and he'll probably never do anything in football ever again. I think that's just probably how it's going to go for him.
Okay. Okay.
What I mean, if that's what's happening to his career, it'd probably be tough for him to do that. But, you know, look, Dan Morgan's career got cut short, and he's the GM in Carolina right now. So it's different for each guy.
Yep. Yeah. All right, let's roll on to McCoy. What you think? Let's do McCoy and Ruiz kind of simultaneously.
Both here. Easy hears.
McCoy's an easy here. Ruiz needs to have another good year to get another contract, I think, though. But we're betting on this coaching staff. I mean, that's the thing we like most about this coaching staff is we think they will be good for offensive linemen. And Cesar Ruiz needs them to hit on two guard draft picks before he gets bumped out of the lineup because right now they don't have another guard. So they would need to hit on two before they can afford to lose him. So, yeah, I'm with that. What about Nick Saldivari, though? You think he could deliver enough to still be here in 2026 as a starter?
I think as a starter, I mean, I don't know as a starter, but I think he'll be here in 26.
Yeah, the thing they liked about him is his ability to play guard and center. Obviously, he could have a Landon Young-like career as a swing backup if he doesn't hit as a starter.
All right, jumping to the defense. We got your guy, Cam Jordan. What do you think he's going to be like in 2 years? I know he kind of slowed down a little bit last year, but do you think he picks it back up?
No, I don't think he'll be here in 26. I don't think he'll be here in 26. I don't see it. I just don't see a path for it.
I see the opposite. I don't see a path to him getting better and finding his way again, but I think Cam is going to want to do a few things like try to get in the Hall of Fame and try to get four more sacks for a couple more years before he retires. He's not going to want to do that anywhere else. They're the team that would give him the opportunity to do it on a cheap deal as the playing the current Tano Passanio role or whatever. Like I could absolutely see that if he wants to get to 130 career sacks and he's willing to take a couple million to be a swing backup to do that. But no, obviously we're seeing kind of a rapid aging there with him.
I mean, absolutely no disrespect to him, but like, what do you need to see to even believe that he could do that? Because he's not getting sacked. He wasn't, you know, what does he need to do to be able to justify even having that role instead of somebody else, like in 3 years?
Yeah. I mean, can he, like a name that comes to mind who was playing a decent role for the Saints a couple years ago, I can't remember if you were here yet or not, maybe the first year you were here, Kevin Williams, the great defensive tackle for the Vikings came here and played 25 snaps a game. Instead of a Tano Passanio, instead of a Kyle Phillips or something like that, I could see a scenario. I could see a scenario where Cam is not going to be the kind of guy who says, no, you got to pay me $10 million or I'm out of here, and they say you're out of here. Like, if he wants to keep playing, this would be the place that might let him keep playing. But we agree on what his career trajectory is. I agree on that.
No, I think Cam, he showed that he's slowing down. You know, I don't know if he's going to be able to dip into the fountain of youth and
kind
of reproduce those past seasons, but I think, you know, he goes out gracefully in over the next year or so. Moving on to Granderson, do you think he's able to stick around if he duplicates what he did this year?
Yeah, I think Carl has a chance of sticking around. He's young, he's on the upswing. I think he'll be around. I don't see why they'd move on from him at any point over the next couple of years unless something drastically changes, but I think he's somebody that they would like to keep around.
I kind of think the jury's still out on him. The contract that they signed him to at the beginning of last year, for a minute, it looked like they got a real bargain on it at $13 million a year. Then he kind of quieted down a little. I think in the end, they kind of got him at the right value.
Yeah, so do I.
So I don't know if we're seeing a guy who's going to take the next step or if this is kind of what he is. But even if this is what he is, I think they're getting their money's worth out of
it. I feel the same about him as I do with like Caesar's under contract through 27, fair, I think. Fair. And it's just kind of like, I don't see why you would cut Caesar at that. Great. Like, you might be like, man, like, it could be a little better, yep, but I just don't.
It's a good comp. Yeah. It's a good comp. And we'll find out if Paulson Adebo is a good comp to this year. He's another guy in that category, but I think last year Paulson Adebo hinted that he could be more. Otherwise, I think he might be in that group too.
What do you think about Chase Young? Do you think the Saints aren't able to unlock him?
I think they can unlock him, but I don't think I would maybe bet against him being here because you're going to have to re-sign him at that point. And if he has a good season, now you're kind of bidding against everybody else and there's no loyalty to the situation.
Yeah.
I think there's a chance that he's here. I'm not going to say no chance, but I would just bet on probably no. But like, look, maybe he'll endear himself here and he'll have some loyalty to the team that kind of felt like he had a chance with the neck and they didn't feel weird about the neck and other teams failed him because of the neck. So maybe it's a situation where there's some like, okay, this worked out. I'm going to stick around because you guys believed in me. But I'm going to bet no because we just don't know anything about him. And if he does turn the corner, like a contender and the money might be there as opposed to this situation.
Yeah, I'm a little torn on this because I agree. There's scenario one, it doesn't work out, so he's gone. Scenario two, it works out great, so he's gone to a team that can afford him or his pick of every team in the league. But somewhere in the middle is that scenario you laid out that, like, hey, you guys are the ones who did my surgery, did my rehab, showed faith in me. I had a decent season. They continue the investment. I mean, Chase Young is going to be in this league 2 years from now.
Yes.
The Saints are going to need a number one edge rusher 2 years from now. So I think they will be motivated to try to keep him. So I'm actually going to bet yes.
Okay. I mean, I think it's fair either way. Yeah. It's just so unknown. Yeah. I hopefully he is here because I think if he's here and he's earning his way here, teams in a
I'm
much
picturing
better position.
Another old comp, Nick Fairley. They took the chance on him when no one believed in Nick Fairley on the 1 year deal. And then when they're like, oh, Nick Fairley can still play, then they got the contract extension with him. I think that's the path everyone's hoping for.
Nick Fairley, for me, is the biggest what-if in Saints history. He really is. He really is. Like, he was on his way to being, like, really, really good. And
yeah. They're the team that took the chance on him when the rest of the league kind of passed. And they got the payoff. They got to re-sign him to a modest contract extension. And then obviously he had the health issues that really derailed his career. So.
All right, rolling through the rest of this list, Peyton Turner, Isaiah Foskey?
No, yes.
No, yes.
That makes sense because of their contracts. Foskey's the same boat. They're not going to cut him. They're going to give him every chance. He's going to be under contract through then. That'll be the final year of his contract. So I'll say yes. Peyton Turner, I'll bet no. You have to bet no. You have to bet no on Peyton Turner, but I see a path to yes. I definitely do.
All right, defensive tackle, Brian Brzee. And Kalen Saunders?
Yes, no.
Brzee, an easy yes, probably the easiest yes on this list. Maybe Olave is. Brzee being the second easiest yes on the list. I added Saunders to this list because he's still only 27 years old, and they're the team that took a chance on the talent. If anything, I mean, he's kind of in the Juwan Johnson boat. If he shows anything, he's an easy re-up for another contract here. Last year was a little uninspiring for me, though. We're going to have to see more from him.
All right, jumping to linebacker, DeMario, P. Werner, Willie Gay.
I'm going to say no across the board, but I'll say yes on DeMario if DeMario wants to be here, if he wants to keep playing, if he wants to even just be like cheap and be around. Yeah. I think he'd be an asset. Like if he's willing, if he starts to deteriorate, like if there's a willingness to play like in a lesser complimentary role. Like I think his mentality and his ability and his knowledge of the game would give him extreme value there if he wants to be in that complimentary type role. But it's probably no across the board.
That means that he plays two more years and that he's like, I'm still going. I'm ready for another year. Yeah, you got to bet against it. They're not going to slam the door shut on him and he's not going to demand too much money though. So similar to the things I said about Cam, the only thing here is with Cam, there's a path to a defensive lineman who plays 12 snaps a game. There's not really a
That's the problem.
A linebacker who plays 12 snaps a game, he's not going to be playing special teams. So it's kind of all or nothing at the position he plays.
If he could still play downhill, you could bring him in on like a third down and he could be your blitzer. He's good at that. If there's still that, maybe not the lateral.
If he wants to do it, they'll find a way.
Yeah. Maybe there is. Yeah. Yeah.
What about Willie Gay? Do you think he...
Oh, yeah. We didn't get to the other linebackers.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. What do you think about Willie Gay?
He's on a 1 year. We don't know anything. I'm gonna have to go with no. But maybe.
I think it's Werner or Gay, and I think they're auditioning. I think one of those guys gets signed to an extension next year and is starting in 2026. Maybe both of them, depending on what happens to DeMario Davis. One of those two guys will definitely be here, and it might be a head-to-head competition for the contract extension this year. I'm gonna bet on Pete Werner. I feel like the Saints are down on Pete Werner and brought in Willie Gay and said, hey, this is an open competition, Pete. You haven't proven it. You have to prove it. Yeah. But I saw so many good glimpses from Pete Werner in the past that he's a guy I want to bet on while his stock is a little lower right now.
You think Werner gets it done?
Got to see it. I'm going to have to see it.
Yep.
I mean, they're telling That's us fair. That he needs the competition. So
yeah, that might be the juice. Yeah. That might be what he
it
needs.
Could be. Right. It needs to be.
Yeah. Going to safety, you got Tyrann Mathieu and Jordan Howden. What do you think?
Yes, I think Jordan Howden, and I think if Tyrann wants to be here, he will be here. If Tyrann wants to continue to play, he will be here. I do think safety is a spot where there are different types of roles. So, I think he could fit into that fabric somewhere however he wants. He's already shown, and DeMario has done the same. But, I think Tyrann has a great level of self-awareness about the safety market, his place within it. I think he doesn't want to play anywhere else. He's going to finish it here or, hopefully he has the opportunity to do that. So I doubt he's trying to go anywhere else. Mm-hmm. So I think if he wants to be here, I think he will be here in 26. And I for sure think that Howden will do enough to keep himself around.
Agree on both. We've had the same conversation now about Kamara, Jordan, DeMario, Tyrann Mathieu. Mm-hmm.
And the other thing about
Tyrann is a lot younger than the other defensive players. He's still only 31, so the path to him doing that is even more.
Yeah, and the other thing about Tyrann is he's sat here and talked about how he wants to be a coach. So that mentoring and all that stuff is something that he embraces. He has the right mentality to be somebody that can be an asset several different ways. So as long as he wants to be here, I think he will be in a Saints uniform.
Yeah, I agree. Totally agree with you. All right, moving on to cornerback, we got Marshawn Lattimore, Paulson Adebo, and Alante Taylor. Is Lattimore still here?
I bet against that one.
Yeah, me too.
So much has to happen for Lattimore to still be here. Yeah. We don't even know if he's going to be here this year. And then are things better next year? Mm-hmm. And then are things better than next year? And all the while, they probably have to win to get him to buy in, and we showed skepticism at him winning. Lattimore feels like a no to me. It's good news for the Saints if they've sold him on staying that long. I'll say yes on Paulson Adebo. I feel like he's going to play just good enough for the Saints to re-sign him this year, but not good enough to get priced out of New Orleans. And Alante will be needing a new contract by then. I think only if Lattimore leaves and Alante gets a chance to shine on the outside. If Alante is never outside, I think he moves on and finds a place where he can be.
Here's where it's interesting with Marshawn. In 26, he's 30, and he has a $16.5 million base salary. If he's still playing, he's worth it. If he's still
at this level, he's going to be starting somewhere in the NFL that year.
He's going to be worth that money. So if there's a just a kumbaya,
That's what I'm betting against is the kumbaya. Yeah.
But even if they just get to a kumbaya without the yaw, just if they just get there to somewhere where it's survivable – you want him to play through that. Him playing through this contract would be tremendous. He doesn't have the ridiculous number at the end. It's just I can't bet on it getting there. But you want it to. And the path to it, there's no hurdle besides that. If you clear the first you should be able to play it out.
I'll make my own counterpoint. Two things will happen. DA will start winning and Marshawn will buy in. Or they don't win under this current coaching regime. A new coach comes in and maybe Marshawn buys into the new coach. So there's a couple different paths to Marshawn still being here.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I think they'll probably ultimately re-sign Adebo, and I think Alante will still be here.
It would take another contract for both. I mean, I don't see Alante re-signing if all three are still here. Yeah. Alante needs that chance to replace one of the other two guys, I think, to stay here.
That's fair.
Yeah, okay. I see Lattimore and Adebo out, and then Alante staying if Alante gets the chance to, you know, kind of show himself.
All right. Well, here's the thing. You can't let Adebo go if Lattimore's going, though. Like, you have to keep Adebo at that point.
You don't think you could draft somebody that can produce?
Not. I mean, he's pretty good.
I'm not denying that.
The biggest fear, I think Adebo stays. The only way Adebo leaves to me is if he's too good. Like, there is a path to – people were throwing money around this year, and that cap is only going up. There is a path to somebody paying Adebo just way more than the Saints can or are willing to spend.
Here's the problem. Like, if you let Adebo and Lattimore go, you have to draft a cornerback. You still probably have one of two bad tackle situations. You still need two pass rushers. Like, your draft a year from now is you have all these tremendous needs. If you can keep Adebo and just scratch off, you know, a major one, I think you kind of have to.
Cool. I expect it to happen. Unless he's like going to the Pro Bowl and making $18 million a year, I expect him to be back.
Yeah, and then finally the specialists, Groupie, Charlie Smith, and Lou Headley.
Yes, no, no.
Yeah, I think Groupie will still be here. I do. I'm betting that, you know, if you're reading our mock drafts, I'm betting that Lou Headley is going to lose the job to a guy they draft this year. That's my bold prediction.
Yeah. Where you at?
Yes, no, no.
Yes, no, no. Okay, that's fair. Hey, stick around. You know, we're going to continue to get in this conversation about the different players that the Saints might draft. Like Mike said, you know, go to the mock draft. You see our second version up there. These guys really get into the weeds about, hey, what if the Saints are able to get a quarterback? But we also had some news this Friday. The Saints got active this morning. And they made some free agent moves. They signed Kellen Mond, the quarterback, and Equanimeous St. Brown, the wide receiver. Do you think they fit in?
I would bet against Mond making the team. It's probably him versus Peterman for one spot. Mm-hmm. And so I'll bet against it, especially if they potentially draft a guy on day three. I don't think this, as Nick pointed out, I don't think this stops them from drafting a guy on day three. They just brought in another guy to look at, basically, there who has worked with Janoco and Kubiak before in Minnesota. St. Brown, I'm a little intrigued because he's that big physical 6'5" guy. He can block, something a lot of their receivers currently can't do. I don't know if he fits if they keep Cedric Willison, and especially if they draft another guy, then it just becomes musical chairs. But, you know, that's the big-bodied blocking receiver who can give you 20 catches a year, Brandon Coleman style, potentially. I'd bet against either one of them even making the 53, though.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I mean, you got to have 90 guys. I think Kellen Mond's just someone that's going to, I hate to use the word like a camp arm, but I think he's probably just a camp arm. Mm-hmm. And he's going to be here, he's going to be gone, and that's kind of the end of it. For St. Brown, yeah, I mean, look, he's an option. He's an option, someone you take a look at. Maybe he gives you some of that. I think Cedric Wilson's significantly ahead of him, as far as the depth chart goes, but he's worth having around. Again, you got to have 90 guys.
Somebody like Keith Kirkwood is always around. Like, why can't he? He's played in the league for 6 years for good reason. And one of the teams that he had his best season with was Chicago. And Andrew Janoco was the quarterback's coach there. And he just told us today, Andrew Janoco called his agent and said, hey, I think Equanimeous would fit good here. So there's roles for guys. They don't have to, you know, a Keith Kirkwood type. Yeah. Maybe he's the next Keith Kirkwood type.
Yeah, it's all fair. We're rolling into our next segment brought to you by Jouer Productions. If you need anything production-wise, Jouer is the people to go with. So hit them up at jouerproductions.com. Nick and Mike have just dropped their mock draft simulation on the website yesterday. If you haven't checked it out, make sure you do. And we didn't do it on purpose, but four of the first five picks wound up being from Alabama, Washington, Ohio State, and Georgia. This is always
a tendency.
This is always a big fan discussion, but should it be a big discussion inside the Saints' war room? Should the Saints favor guys from Power Five schools, and would those be safer picks?
I mean, yes, they are. I think inherently, just they end up being safer picks because they've played against the level of competition. You see it against other guys that are getting drafted in that range. There's less projection with them. If you have two guys that you're looking at kind of the same level and one of them played at Ohio State and one of them played at Ohio, like you have a better chance of the success rate being on the Ohio State guy because you've seen it against other people. Like when you watch Trevor Penning throw around guys that aren't going to be in the NFL and you're assuming he's going to do it, there's a level of guesswork there. But when you see Joe Alt do it and it's against guys that are going to be rushing the passer in the NFL, there's a level of reality to what he's doing and you know what it looks like and you know who he's blocking and, you know, all that stuff. So, yeah, I mean, I think that there's a level of that. On the other hand, though, good players come from everywhere. So I don't think you should be scared of it because you missed on a guy from Houston. But if again, if you have a guy from Houston and a guy from Texas, take the guy from Texas.
Yeah, look, this. I don't know if this is true of every NFL team, but if we were going to make a list of the best Saints draft picks of the last 10, 15 years, we're putting Teron Armstead from Arkansas Pine Bluff on there. We're putting Jari Evans from Bloomsburg. We're putting Marcus Colston from Hofstra. We're putting David Onyemata from Manitoba in Canada. We're, you know, it's uncanny. Jimmy Graham didn't even really play college football, barely, and he's one of the best draft picks in Saints history. So there's just obvious proof over and over again that that's not where they have to come from. And so
I think that it's more is of a, just I think it's more of a first round discussion though.
Yeah, okay, but that's fair, but I mean, some of these guys are the most talented players in franchise
history, I mean, like,
not just good, like, solid picks.
I think you can take the risk a little bit more in the middle round, though. And like, I'm betting more on upside in a third round. Like, I think in the first round, like, I think when people talk about like the misses of small school guys, I don't think anyone's pissed off about missing on a small school guy in the third round. Like, if Tron hadn't hit, it's just kind of like Tron didn't hit. But I think it's when you take like a smaller school guy and you're doing like the complete projection in the first round. I think that's where, like, for me at least, I start looking at it. I'm like, well, if they're there, like, just take the guy that's safer at that point.
Well, and I know the fans think that. I guess I just bring up those names from history just because I think people just, like, pile them up. Like, look at Marcus Davenport and Peyton Turner and Trevor Penning. They all came from small schools. You can never draft from small schools. Before that, it used to be what the Saints did best. And meanwhile, Isaiah Foskey, you just mentioned Joe Alt. Isaiah Foskey was a 3-year starter at Notre Dame, and he looked lost when he got here. And Stephon Anthony was a starter at Clemson, and he looked lost when he got here. So it just there's nothing automatic about the discussion. But all of that is just me being devil's advocate. There's no question. We've both been talking a lot about J.C. Latham recently. You see him doing that stuff at Alabama, throwing people around. Playing against SEC competition, you just have to feel so much better about the fact that this league won't be too big. This transition won't be too big.
And like all those guys, I think a tackle are fairly safe. But I do think like in the situation specifically that they're in right now, if you're going into it, just take the guy that you know can do the job right now. Like just do that. Because if you miss on that, you are in such peril so quickly. But yeah, I mean, I don't think it's something that you hide from. I think it's just like if there's the either or, I think the tiebreaker should always be, especially that early. Like just go with the guy that's closest. Doesn't mean that you're going to be right, but at least your process is cleaner, it's safer. And, you know, I think when you're just chasing that upside for the sake of chasing it, when there's something similar there, like I think it's dangerous. And I just don't think they're in a place where they can take a risk early on in this draft.
Yeah, the only guys really in the discussion, Quinyon Mitchell, the cornerback from Toledo.
See, that would scare me, but he might be great.
He's I guess you could say Drake May since he's playing quarterback at North Carolina, but you know, that's obviously a
You can end up with Josh Allen or you can end up with Carson Wentz. I mean, there's
for the most part, I don't even see anyone they might draft that we're even discussing in round one that you're like, I don't want to take him because of where he played.
Yeah.
Appreciate y'all for hanging with us in this first half. We're going to hit a quick break and then we'll be right back.
Shrimp Remoulade combos are back at New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood Company. Zesty Shrimp Remoulade served with fried shrimp, catfish, or softshell crab starting at $10.99. Or try one of our spring specials, catfish Lafitte, or lemon caperfish with crab meat now at New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood Company.
Are you tired of renting and ready to own your dream home? Contact Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union, your trusted source for home loans. Our competitive rates and flexible terms can help make your home ownership dreams a reality. If you're a first-time home buyer or looking to refinance, our experienced lenders are here to help. Our online application process allows you to apply on your schedule. It's quick, easy, and convenient. Visit us online at jeffersonfinancial.org to learn more. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender.
Martin Wine and Spirits is home to a selection of hand-picked barrel-select bourbon, whiskeys, and much, much more. They are family owned and operated since 1946 and specialize in wine, spirits, gourmet food, gift baskets, catering, and tasting events. They have many locations, so they're never too far away. You can check them out in Metairie, New Orleans, Mandeville, and Baton Rouge. Or if it's more convenient, you can always shop online. Whether you're a wine novice or a seasoned collector, you'll enjoy the Martin Wine and Spirit experience.
Welcome back to our new studio on Veterans Memorial Boulevard. Our next segment is brought to you by Hard High Strawberry Ponchatoula Whiskey. There's a lot of pressure on the Saints, Dennis Allen, and Derek Carr this year. But should there be even more pressure on the Falcons?
Yeah, I mean, I think that they're the team with the expectations, and they made their choices this year. And I think it's kind of fascinating if you really look at it. Like, they passed up on Bill Belichick. Mm-hmm. They brought in the quarterback who's paid more than Derek Carr. They're going to have four top 10 picks, or a top 10 pick for the fourth year in a row. The division stinks. The Saints are supposed to be falling back. The Bucs are supposed to be falling back. Like, if they mess this up, like, it's yeah. I think it's bad. I think it's look, they got the first year of head coach. Like, there's more runway there, but I feel like there's
runway for the coach, not for old friend Terry Fontenot.
There's significant pressure, I think, on this team to win the division. Whereas I think everybody else is kind of just, you know, they're in the mix, but the Falcons should be the team that wins it. I think they need to capitalize for sure.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I mean, we talk about patience with Dennis Allen. They went into the Terry Fontenot, Arthur Smith regime with like a, hey, we are building it from the studs up. Like, goodbye, Matt Ryan. Goodbye, Julio Jones. We're getting out of this salary cap situation. You're not going to have some talent for a while. We're going to build it up through the draft. And then they fire Arthur Smith anyway. So patience doesn't really exist in the NFL. I don't think Terry Fontenot can survive if they – pay Kirk Cousins to say, all right, you've built this entire roster, and now we give you a quarterback to make it run. Raheem Morris will survive, but I don't think Terry Fontenot can survive another year beyond this. And it's really interesting that the word you said of all of it is they passed up Bill Belichick. So I think that doubles the pressure. Like, you know, if Raheem Morris could just go somewhere with no expectations, like Shane Steichen in Indianapolis or something, then people might be happy with like a 9-8 season where they almost made the playoffs. But everything they do is going to be, you passed up Bill Belichick for that. You're right. That is the team with the Saints. Oddly enough, the expectations have become so low. There's not going to be a microscope on this team this year. Maybe that'll help them kind of thrive in the shadows.
Yeah. I think the Falcons, you know, they've pushed all their chips on the table and they're going all in. And if they can't get it done, then yeah, they are under more pressure than the Saints. Let's roll on to our Martin's questions of the day. We got two questions because it's a Friday. Martin's is home to a wide selection of hand-picked barrel-select bourbon, whiskeys, and more. Martin's, so much more than just wine. Our first question comes from Micah Conniff. Do the Saints have the luxury of double-dipping at the O-line position with their first two picks?
Yeah, I mean, Micah mentions that big pass catcher is a priority. There's a lot of needs. Mm-hmm. We just went through the list. But Kevin and I just did a members-only segment where we ranked the most glaring needs on this team. We had left tackle, right tackle, and left guard, three of our top four. Yeah. It's not like the other needs are greater than those. So they don't have to double dip. Mm-hmm. They can go pass catcher. They can go defensive end. But if they do end up with a left tackle and a right tackle, or a left tackle and a left guard, or a right tackle and a left guard, two of the top five needs to me, I think I don't call that a luxury. I say that's filling big needs. I'm okay with it.
Yeah, they definitely could. They definitely have the ability to do it. Something that I think it might even be like a good outcome. So it's something that they definitely should have their eyes open to for sure.
Yeah, our next question comes from 850 Larry. Who would have to be drafted before you want the Saints to trade down from 14?
All the tackles. All of them.
Okay, well, no, let's okay, answer the question. All of them?
I mean, there's so
Joe
many.
Joe Alt would have to be gone, yeah, or you'd Latham, want him. Olu Fashanu.
Fuaga, the other.
Fautanu.
Yeah.
All five. Would have to be gone for
all
you
All five
trade
would
down.
Have to be gone for me to trade down. No, yeah, no question about it. I think it's such a need. You can't do anything else.
I know. This is the head versus heart discussion I have. I've really grown to like Latham a lot. I could convince myself on Fautanu. I could convince myself on Fuaga. We talked earlier, I could convince myself a little on Tyler Guyton. I don't think he's as ready to start as those other guys. I kind of feel like if two or three of them are still available, you could trade down, but then you're playing with fire because what if there's just they go 14, 15, 16? You got to get one of the top five. You really do. I kind of want the Saints to trade down. They need so many things. They need to rebuild a young base. But, yeah, I think they need one of those five so bad. I can't miss out on one of those top five.
It's it would be crazy, too. Like, it's just there's way too much risk there to do it. And if they trade down and don't get one, like, I'm right and fire everybody. Because, I mean, that would just be such a stupid move. You cannot do that. You cannot lose what you have to have by being greedy and being like, well, maybe we can get a tight end out of this, too. Like, they aren't in a position to do that.
And here's the other thing. We can look here and say, I'm fine if they get Bashanu, Latham, Fautanu, or Fuaga. But their board might not look like that. Their board might – they might love two of those guys and have questions about the other two.
I think they like all of them.
You think all five?
I think they like all of them.
Well, then maybe they could trade down three spots or something.
but then you're losing them. Like, you can't. Yeah,
You got to get one of them. You got to get one of them.
They like all of them, but I'm certain there's ones they like more than others. Yeah. But I think you're okay with any of them at 14.
Yeah,
the team is in survivor mode. They got to make it happen. That time.
I don't want to trade up, though, especially since there's five that we like. Sounds like there's five that they like. I'm not trading up, I should say. Like, I'm not trading a future first rounder to go get my top guy on that list. Like, the luxury of this draft is your position of need has some options.
Yeah. Appreciate y'all for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to NewOrleans.football for all the latest from Nick and Mike. Till next time, catch you.